Welcome into the Nuts. I'm Amal Shaw. This is Mike Palm. Mike, you talked about pitching between Cleveland and the Chicago White Sox. You were half right. The Chicago White Sox get a tremendous effort, a no-hitter out of Rondon yesterday as he loses the perfect game in the ninth inning.
Yeah, Dan, Zach Plesac couldn't get out of the first. I thought that might be a pretty good pitching matchup last night, and he had his troubles in the first inning. Couldn't get out of the first. White Sox built up a big lead, and then it was cruise control for Rondon. I like the way that the White Sox went up there and just sort of took their at-bats. They weren't trying to grind it out up 8-0. They let him stay in a rhythm and let the pace of the game be quick, and he had every opportunity. And then once again, three out of the last four ruined by a hit by pitch.
That's unbelievable. Two outs away and gets a hit by a pitch. Perez gets hit there and goes to first base, but still gets the no-hitter, at least able to seal the deal there. But two away from a perfect game. It's such rarefied air.
Yeah, and you know, earlier the no-hitter for the Padres, Musgrove hit by pitch is what ruined that as well. Yeah. No walks, no errors. I remember Scherzer a couple years ago with one or two
against
outs
the Pirates.
In the ninth. Yeah,
yes.
Stuck the elbow into it to ruin it. Still got the no-no, though.
Yeah, you know, but it seems like the no-hitter after that is not the same. Like, it doesn't have the same cachet. If you had a HBP or a walk in the early part of the game and you get a no-hitter, it's an incredible accomplishment. But to give it away in the ninth inning with one down and two to go.
Yeah, it becomes a disappointment, right?
It really does.
There's so few perfect games in the history of Major League Baseball as compared to no-hitters. So that sort of sets us up for today, I think, with a great pitching matchup again with Aaron Civale going against Lance Lynn here. This game gets underway in about 10 minutes. I love the first five under here. The total's four, and you lay 20 cents. Savali's been great. He's got 2-0 with a whip of .55. Right. And, of course, Lance Lynn hasn't given up a run in 13 and two-thirds. We've seen both these teams. I mean, White Sox shut out in 10 innings on Monday. They do score just in the first few innings last night. And then the Indians, one run and get no hit last night. So two teams not really hitting the ball against two pitchers have done very well.
And to your point, you look at these guys, 28 and a third combined innings pitched so far, 29 strikeouts and just five base on balls. When you look at the number of Ks they have per innings, one of the good things to look at when you're looking at pitchers in terms of their range of Ks per innings pitch, which I really love, and these two guys have been outstanding so far. I'm not as big of a believer in Lance Lynn at this point of his career. I know he's gotten off to a fast start. Let's see if he can continue that now into his third start. Civale, which you mentioned, is a terrific young pitcher of the Tribe. It seems like their scouting department does about as good of a job as anybody in baseball in developing these young pitchers. We've seen it with Bieber. We've seen it with other guys like Clevinger that have moved on. Kluber's a guy that came through the system there. So really a tremendous job. We'll see if Civale can continue that now coming off of a no-hitter by his team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he may have the biggest ceiling of all of them. Outside of Bieber, obviously, he's already won a unanimous Cy Young. Savali, look for him in the next few years if he's still in Cleveland, either to be the solid number two behind Bieber or an ace somewhere. I think this kid has a ton of potential.
You know what? Playing in Cleveland is like growing up in the Midwest. Everybody loves growing up there, and then you're trying to get the hell out.
Well,
it's just the reality of it.
It's tough in April. It's tough in late September.
Well, no, you realize you're not in prison, and you don't have to live in this minus 10-degree weather, so let's get out of here.
I get it, Amal. You've lived in those beautiful places in Florida and Dallas and Las Vegas, so... Ohio is a little bit below that on the scale.
It's not that. Joakim Noah had the greatest line ever. He said, I never heard anyone say I'm going to Cleveland on vacation. I mean, that's a true statement.
Cleveland.
Listen, great people, though, in the Midwest. Anyway, you look at this matchup, though, this Cleveland team off to a fast start at 6-5 because I don't think they were expected to perform at this level. Yesterday was an aberration, getting no hit again by Rondon. But to me, when I look at this team overall, are they going to have enough offense?
That's the thing, because they lose the punch. Lindor is so dynamic at the top of the lineup. They're going to have to get the pitching. This is a team you can focus on some unders. The good thing is no one's running away with the AL Central right now, right? Yeah. I mean, everybody's sort of muddled up around .500. Twins blow a big doubleheader to the Red Sox yesterday. Those sneaky Kansas City Royals beat the Angels and Griffin Canning yesterday. So it's all really still up for grabs. Nobody's really established an advantage. And Detroit playing well in Houston still.
Yeah, you mentioned now, from your perspective in this matchup, are you concerned about the Tribe after getting no hit, or are you concerned about, from a Chicago perspective, the emotion based on Rodon's performance yesterday?
It could be a letdown spot for the White Sox, yeah. Right? They celebrated, obviously, last night, the near-perfect game and the no-hitter, so and then come back with a day game after a night game. So the bats may be a little bit quiet here for the Sox, if anything.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the total in this first five is 4.5, which is intriguing because the total for the game itself is 7.5, and you've got two pitchers who have been dominant thus far.
Yeah, I laid 4, and I laid 20 cents instead of the 40 cents at 4.5.
Oh, I like that. Pretty interesting there. One to pay attention to if you are looking to get in on this one. Still have a few minutes before this first pitch goes at, I believe it's 11:10 Pacific time, so pay attention to that. This is The Nuts. I'm Amal Shaw. That's Mike Palm. We are going to be speaking with SiriusXM MLB Network and Sports San Diego contributor Scotty Miller in about 5 minutes. Get a pulse on him in terms of what's going on with the Padres as well. And then, of course, we're going to talk a little bit about baseball. But, Mike, yesterday Rodon outstanding, the no-hitter for the White Sox.
Very efficient. They got him off to a lead. He could settle in. There was really no pressure on him. He didn't have a lot of big bats to worry about in that Cleveland lineup. A couple 3-0 counts mid-game. He came battled back from, didn't give up the walk, only to surrender the perfect game with the hit-by-pitch in the ninth.
Yeah, absolutely right. Tremendous job. We'll see if they can continue that hot winning streak off of what they did yesterday. Just a one-game winning streak, but still, this is two teams that have been really struggling one night and then flip-flop the next night offensively. We'll see if they can get it turned around today. Want to get into a couple of games that are going to go a little bit later on today. I want to start with a late game, actually, that involves the Rockies and the Dodgers. In case you missed it last night, the Dodgers won again.
Yeah. I mean, talk about the Martingale and the Dodgers. I mean, will they lose three in a row this year? It's
you
hard
asked
to think
the question.
About.
They're 10-2.
You know what? Here's my point on the Dodgers right now. I think, and I've said this, that the weak spot is the closer, Jensen. I mean, they've lost two games. He blew one of them when they had the lead in Oakland. And then I look at Carrot Top here, May, right? He's like the Nelson Lamet in San Diego. He's unhittable the first time through the lineup. I think, and I texted their VP, Royce Cohen, last night, why not make May your closer? You can still, David Price could be your fifth starter. You don't need to get a ton of innings out of him. Bueller's going to eat up innings. Bauer's going to eat up innings. You don't need a guy that's going to eat innings out of your five spot. Gonsolin's out. He comes back. He could be your five if it's not Price. I'd rather have May come in there and throw 100 miles an hour in the ninth inning than what Jensen is right now.
Yeah, the reason they can't listen to you is because they're not a Fortune 500 company, and they don't want to waste all the money on their scouting department and fire those guys or continue to overpay them. I think you make a great point. I think you're absolutely right. Dustin May's a guy one time through the lineup. He's very unhittable. Mm-hmm. You know, the one weakness when you look at this Dodgers bullpen is Kenley Jansen. So where do you see this team utilizing him is the question mark. And I think, to me, if he's a guy, they think he's a starter, but I just don't see the confidence in letting these pitchers go deep into games, and that's a big problem because the Dodgers use a ton of analytics, and it's hard to argue because they won the World Series, but when you have the kind of talent that they have, it's going to be tough for an opponent to overcome.
They're very steadfast in maintaining that Jensen's not the problem, though. That they really believe that. They, despite whatever evidence we've seen of his decline in recent years, they don't admit that. When you try to talk about the problem, they give you different reasons for why. Price hasn't been that good so far, and Gonsolin comes. But what about Jensen? They never addressed the Jensen. So, but that's their choice. They won a World Series with him last year, and God bless them if they want to try to do it again.
I thought it was despite him they won the World Series, but that's another story. Let's go to another intriguing matchup today. Rangers and Rays, Mike. This is a Rangers team at 5-7, but the Rays are struggling a bit at 5-7. Just really not off to a fast start. You thought this team would need to get off to a quick start if they're going to be competitive, because a lot of times they've got to do it with just, you know, pitching in one game, offense another game. It's not been consistent so far.
It's a strange number here. I'm tempted to play Texas. You know why? Because I'm up late 180 with Richie Hill. I mean, what's Richie Hill going to get you, four or five innings? They haven't dominated Texas in this series. Texas has played well at Tropicana. And I just think it's, at this point of his career, every inning is an effort for Richie Hill. It's like a grind. He doesn't get too many 1-2-3 innings, and he doesn't get too many 2-3 pitch at bats. He's just really got to grind through. So it's really tough in that spot to lay 180, especially with the team. And what are you going to score, three or four runs?
Well, he's a Michigan man. Come on. You don't expect him to do well?
I love Richie Hill.
He's Why?
Great. I love him as a playoff pitcher. He'll give you a great start somewhere in the playoffs. But is he going to give you 30 great starts in a regular season? He's not that guy anymore. How long has he been in the league? 14 years?
He's
and
40,
he has
41.
How many wins does he have?
Career,
look at the number of career wins he has.
68.
In what, 15 years?
17.
Okay, think about that. Four wins, four
he's
wins a
four
year.
Four wins a year.
And you're going to get 30 starts out of him?
Yeah, I mean, to me, he's just not a guy I would want starting. And you mentioned it, minus 180, too high of a price here. You have to take a look at the Rangers with Jordan Lyles on the mound. Much better earned run average. Not been stellar in the mid-four range. But the reality of it is Rangers come in having won two in a row. Rays going the other way right now, have lost two in a row. And also the other thing, if you're going to bet these games, I think these are run line plays. Minus a run and a half, plus 118. So many of these games come down to whether a team's going to win this game or not, not about whether they win by one run or so.
Yeah, I just hesitate a little bit because it's the home team not to get the ninth at bat here. But I understand your point that there's the whole dollar difference here, 98 cents difference to win by two. And you look at the actual percentage of games that come down to win by one run.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something to pay attention to. Detroit and the A's today, Mike. I know you have an interest in this game between these two teams. Tarik Skubal on the mound for Detroit against Sean Manea for the Oakland A's. A's also off to a similar start as Tampa and Texas. All three teams at 5-7 right now. Tigers 6-6.
Well, it's an interesting spot here. Skubal, a young pitcher here. Manea coming off the injury. You know, I'm tempted to take a shot again at Detroit at plus 150. They're playing good ball. It is a road trip. They had to fly from, obviously, from Houston to go up to Oakland today here. But I'm not interested in laying 180 again with an A's team that isn't that good.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Right now, until we see some consistency out of Oakland, it's difficult to lay a price of 177 as we're seeing on DraftKings right now. Total of 8.5 in this game. This is a Tigers team at plus 150. Maybe not a bad idea to take a shot with them as they've played a lot better baseball than maybe anticipated early on in the season.
Well, it's tempting right now where you can still get these prices at this team because it's going to take a while for the odds makers to catch up. But, I mean, they've played pretty well. They played against, you know, they beat Bieber on opening day and they held their own in Houston, played very well. So let's see where they can go with this.
Absolutely right. Let's switch gears a little bit and let's go to bad teams, speaking of which, in the NFL draft. Let's take a look at some news and notes in terms of the NFL first before we get into breaking down a couple of these teams, the Atlanta Falcons and Cincinnati Bengals, who are going to be 4th and 5, respectively, in terms of the draft order. But some news around the NFL right now. Cordell Patterson signs with the Atlanta Falcons on a 1-year, $3 million deal. And then, of course, Aldon Smith goes to the Seattle Seahawks on a 1-year deal as well. Do either of these guys have any sort of impact for you outside of Patterson in the kick return game?
Yeah, that's about it, yeah. I think. I mean,
and does it matter anymore? Every kick's a touchback anyway.
There's very few kicks that get returned. But if you can hit one or two home runs a year, I mean, that's great. Or you can get your team field position a couple of times. Relative to the money, I mean, $3 million, it's really a chance, right? It's a roll of the dice that he's going to make a couple big plays. But other than that, I don't see a lot of value. And then Aldon Smith... you know, the Seattle's looking for something. They've got to get something to get some pressure there because this is a team, you know, with Pete Carroll, they're not able to defend in the secondary the way they were, right? And the way to defend the pass is if you don't have a great secondary, you got to get to the quarterback quick. So, you know, another shot here with 1-year deals. They take a look at some reclamation projects and see if they can turn it around.
Yeah, right now the Falcons 60-1 to win the Super Bowl. NFC, they're 25-1, and the Seahawks as well. Right now, plus 280 to win the division in terms of the NFC West. So a team that's still some question marks surrounding them. I want to go back to the Atlanta Falcons here. Right now, when you look at them, season win total over under 7. I mentioned the odds to win the NFC Championship at 25-1, the NFC South at 10-1, and just to make the playoffs, they're 3-1. They're drafting number 4. Do you think, A, they stick in that position? Do they take a quarterback? What do you see them doing? What's your gut?
I just don't think they're going to take a quarterback, so I think they've got to go down. If at 4, well, there's no value to pick other than a quarterback, right? And as we talked to Frank Schwab yesterday, there's a very good possibility that these 5 quarterbacks get taken 1 through 5.
Right.
And that's going to assume then that Atlanta and Cincinnati
both make trades.
Both trade down, right? And I think Atlanta is much more likely to do that. Matt Ryan has too many years left. Unless you're looking to move him, you're not going to draft a quarterback who's going to sit for 5 or 6 years. It's an anomaly. I mean, we sat Aaron Rodgers for a long time in Green Bay. That's probably the one-off of it actually happening here. I mean, Matt Ryan probably, I would estimate, you know, they're still looking at him having at least 4 more years left in his career, if not 6 or 7.
Yeah, that's the big thing. You look at Matt Ryan last year, pretty good numbers, 26 touchdowns, 11 INTs, 93.3 quarterback rating. And if you look at him, it was actually one of his better years in the last 5. So I think he's got an opportunity to be consistent. If they're healthy, their offense we know can move the football. Defensively, they've got to get better. And I'm with you. I think if they trade down, this team's got an opportunity. They need someone off the edge that can really help in terms of the pass rush. That'll be a question mark with them. But they still have some areas that they've just overall, it doesn't matter whether it's at the front 4, linebacker level, or the secondary, they've got to get better in the defense.
Yeah, they're looking at multiple picks to try to improve this defense, and I think they trade down to somewhere possibly 11, 12, 13, 14 in that range to draft a defensive player and look to pick up additional picks in the second round possibly.
Yeah, I think that's something that would help this team out immensely. They're in a very competitive division, that NFC South. Obviously, the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the New Orleans Saints have some question marks at quarterback. Carolina was a lot more competitive than I think people thought they may have been last year, despite the fact that McCaffrey was out quite a bit. On top of it, Matt Rhule really focused in on defense. They acquire Sam Darnold. They've got Teddy Bridgewater there. They may be in a situation where they could be a little bit of a surprise.
It's an interesting division, right? Because I think there's a couple of teams you're unsure of, and you mentioned them. I mean, how much are the Saints going to bounce off of Breeze leaving? Mm-hmm. Or was Breeze really at the end of his career? We talk about war in baseball, right? Wins over replacement. Yeah. Was he really not allowing that team to be to its full potential? I mean, in the playoff game, you saw they had the 7-point lead, the fumble that really turned that game around, and then he couldn't make the plays down the stretch. But up to that point, they were really in control of that game. They're very good on both sides of the ball, offensive and defensive efficiency. It depends on what they're going to do with the quarterback position, right? I mean, it's so important in football. I think they could still be good again, and I think they could bounce. And then on the other side, you have Carolina. It seems to be a team on the rise, but is Darnold the answer? I mean, we've talked about it on this show. To you, he is not the answer. They may still be looking for a quarterback. Bridgewater was serviceable last year, but what are you going to win with him, 6 or 7 games?
Yeah, by the way, if you're going to quote me, get it right. It's a definitive no. There's no chance. I mean, go back to his days at USC. He was a turnover machine. Didn't get much better in the NFL with the Jets. I still think Teddy Bridgewater's a decent game manager when you factor in the running game that they have with McCaffrey. To me, he's one of the top three all-around backs.
Yeah. So when you're looking at this win total of 7, you know, they got to lose 11 games to lose it. So it's heavy, right? I mean, with these 17, you got to go 6-11 to go under.
Yeah.
But it is weighted, right? I mean, the over's -143, and you get a plus price with the under at +118 on that 25-cent straddle there.
I think there's some better betting opportunities than the Atlanta Falcons at 7. I think that number is probably fairly accurate with them. I think if things break well, they win 8 games. I think if things go awry, they probably win 5 or 6 games. So to me, this number is right where it should be, kind of a stay away. I want to go to a team that you and I are high on, maybe not necessarily next year in 21, but going forward in 22. And from there forward, the Cincinnati Bengals right now, season win total at 6.5, 80-1 to win the Super Bowl, NFC Championship 33-1, AFC North 25-1. To make the playoffs, they're 4-1. Again, very competitive division with the Ravens, mm-hmm. Browns, and Steelers. But Joe Burrow, his health is going to be the big question mark surrounding this team. And then where would you go if you're in the draft, if you're the Bengals, whether you stay at 5 or trade down?
Yeah, you have to go to a spot where you can still get the offensive lineman, right?
Yep.
Because that's who they want to pick. And if they don't want to take that chance, then they might stay at 5. They really have to handicap who goes above them in that spot. What are the Dolphins and Lions going to do? I mean, the Lions could be looking for an offensive lineman as well. So how far down are you going to drop? It's just a tough division. That's the problem. If they were in a different division, I have a little higher hopes on this team being around 500. I'm not big on the Steelers. I think Roethlisberger's in decline, and I don't believe in teams that can't run the ball at all. But Cleveland just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
Baltimore's going to be a solid team. So it's tough there because when you look at the 6 games they're going to play within the division, what do you handicap them at, 2-4? I mean,
yeah, best case scenario.
It's 2-4 or 1-5,
right,
probably, right? So then that's tough then when you look at the win total to get over 6.5. If you're only going to win 1 or 2 games, you got to find them elsewhere. Although they do get a number 4 schedule, right? So they're going to play teams that were last in their division outside of their division.
Yeah, so I mean, that should help them somewhat, but it still remains to be seen. You want to see it exactly how it plays out. You know, you might wind up with the competitive teams in a block later in the season, which could be a problem because then a team may not be as engaged if they're out of contention. Even if a team struggled as much as the Bengals did last year, when you start the season, there's just a kind of a hope of optimism across the board for every team when you go into training camp. And then how you start the season, that was like with Washington, right? They get that win early on. Things started going in the right direction. They make the playoffs. Probably not a team anyone expected to have a chance.
Yeah. The other thing about Burrow, obviously, is a short sample size, right? Even through his rookie season, we got about a third of a rookie season, right?
Yeah.
So he's still in development in terms of game time and how much he's actually seen NFL defenses. He still has developing to go. So I think it's a team you project out down the road, but I don't think you can really take any positive stances in terms of the betting, obviously, for playoffs to win the division or even trying to go over 6.5. It's a pass for me.
Yeah, I actually would lean towards the under here when you look at that division. Remember, it was, three turnovers by the Steelers in that game that benefited them in that matchup. So some question marks surrounding the Cincinnati Bengals when you look at long-term. Go ahead.
Well, you would remember that game.
I remember a lot of games. I can't help it. I got a good memory. You're talking because I lost in the Survivor?
Yes.
Listen, you're going to lose games along the way. That happens. I mean, it's just the nature of it. But to me, it's just certain things, how you lose in games, that really stand out. When you lose to a TJ Finley, that guy couldn't beat anybody in the ACC. That was my issue with that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously the Steelers. And by the way, you know what bothers me is I'm a guy that doesn't believe in taking teams on the road.
That's one of your principles.
And
you don't
against
play road teams in Survivor.
100%. And unfortunately, I filleted myself with that one. But I still think this team's going to have some question marks because of the division, as you alluded to.
I agree with you here. But it's a team on the rise and an interesting team to watch here, too, this year. And you'll see if they come out and they play more consistently and Burrow starts to look good again, then there's opportunities to bet them, obviously, week to week.
I think they should go offensive line, take Penei Sewell out of Oregon, didn't play last year. I actually think that having a year off benefits players physically. You don't have to go through the grind. Mm-hmm. Granted, in the Pac-12, it was a shortened season, but still, not having to go through the day-to-day regimen helps out. And I think this team, if they can do that, you already have T. Higgins. It looks like you're going to have a good relationship between him and Joe Burrow in terms of what they're able to do. They've got some good skill pieces. They've got to get better on the line, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you build your teams from the offensive line out. When you go from a 0 wins, 1 win, 2 win,
yeah,
you got to build your lines on both sides of the ball before you're going to make significant changes. And usually in the NFL, it's a 3-year process. You don't go from 1 win to 10 wins. You go from 1 to 5 to 9 to 11. And we've seen that over and over again, how teams are turned around.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something to pay attention to. This division, still the Ravens for you?
I keep wanting to think about Cleveland, though. I think this team's on the rise. I think the Ravens are a little susceptible that they're too dependent on Jackson, and they've built everything around Jackson. And I don't know that Cleveland to win the division isn't a bad shot.
Yeah, right now the Browns plus 175, Ravens plus 110. I tend to agree with you. I think the Browns have a great chance via acquisition of Clowney as well.
I think the play is to fade the Steelers, though, instead of to choose between the Browns and the Bengals, between the Browns and the Ravens.
I would agree with you completely. When we come back, we're going to go behind the bets. No Champions League. So what's Palm taking today? That's next here on The Nuts. Welcome back to The Nuts. I'm Amal Shaw. That's Mike Palm. We're going to go behind the bets right now where we break down our individual plays in terms of how we arrived at that decision. Mike, no Champions League for you here today, so no soccer. Where are you going?
Well, there's Europa, though. I mean,
Over, though. Europa's over.
In the play, but well, those four games last week, it was 3 unders and a push, and now you get leg 2, so I might have a little play on a Spanish team today and then under. But the main play, the 3-unit play today, I'm going to go back to this White Sox-Cleveland Indians series in Chicago and the total here in the first 5-4. I think it's a great pitching matchup again today. Lance Lynn, the journeyman now with the White Sox, has pitched very well. 13 2/3, hasn't given up an earned run so far this year for the Sox.
Right.
And then on the other side, I'm so high on Aaron Civale. I mean, he's got a whip of 0.55. which, if he could continue, it would beat even Kenta Maeda's greatest all-time whip from last year of 0.75. And Civale, 2-0 through 2 starts. You know, outside of 1 inning in this series, which was the first inning yesterday where the White Sox scored 6 runs.
Yeah.
Okay, in 19 innings combined, the teams have scored 3 runs. Outside of that first inning when Plesac just had all kinds of trouble. So neither team really hitting the ball well here. A good pitching matchup. I like the 4 because it'll take 5 to beat you here. And I laid 20 cents under.
Yeah, you're lucky, though. Adam Eaton can't run the bases. He just got tagged out going to second base. So there would have been runners on second and third, nobody out, as they have 2 hits to start off this game right now. I just thought I'd point that out because Adam Eaton still probably thinks he's 25 the way he's trying to run these bases.
That's great.
I'm bringing you up to speed on what's going on currently. Let's go. I'm going behind the bets here. Going to the National Hockey League. A rough day for me yesterday. Took the bagel 0-3. You know, any day I have multiple plays, I lose. Mm-hmm. It's just almost like a guarantee. I've got only one play today, but this one involves the Predators and the Hurricanes. Going under 5.5 in this one. Nashville, if you look at their last 10 games, 8 of these games have stayed at 5 goals or less. They've been playing much better defensively. Carolina, number 4 in the league in terms of goals yielded at about 2.44 per game, doing an outstanding job. And the Mrazek in net has only made 6 starts so far this year, but he's got an opportunity, comes in with a 1.47 goals against. On the flip side, UC Saros is going to go for Nashville. He's been terrific, Mike, at 2.16 goals against. If you like the line straight up, it's the Hurricanes minus 182, Preds plus 155. Again, the total here, 5.5, shaded to the over at minus 113, the under at minus 107.
Couple of questions for you.
Go ahead.
When you're looking at Predators games, do you see much of a difference between Saros and Rene?
Right now, I think Saros is playing better. Overall, I do not. I think they're probably the most interchangeable starter and backup of the National Hockey League.
Second point on this game, are you not tempted to take the plus 155? They're 12-3 in their last 15. They're the hottest team in hockey. As you mentioned, they're playing such solid, great defensive hockey. I know Mrazek's good, and I think Mrazek's the key for Carolina in the playoffs, and they got him back, and they're getting him in shape before the playoffs start. But I'm just really tempted on a team that's this hot to take the big plus price.
And to your point, if you look at it, I watched that game against Tampa the other day. They gave up a goal on a power play. And then the second goal they gave up, I think it was already 5-1 or 6-1 at that point in time. And it was a situation where it was just, Saros didn't see the net. And so it was a situation where they got one past him. But they have played extremely well. And I'm with you. I think this is an opportunity when you look at Nashville, plus 155, good chance to take them.
Yeah, I even look at Nashville, you know, right now, before these odds start, if they keep winning like this, their odds to win the cup are going to go down dramatically. They've already turned from, you know, what, 60 to 150, when now they're about 37 to 1 right now.
Yeah.
I think that's worth a play.
Absolutely.
The risk is they peak too early, obviously, right? But in hockey, when you get a team that's hot, we've seen it over and over again, it doesn't matter the seeding. You get a hot goalie, you get a hot team, they make deep runs in the playoffs. It's much different than, like you say, the NBA, where the best teams always make it to the finals and win, or the NFL, where you see the one or the two seed is going to be in the conference championship game everywhere. In hockey, that doesn't necessarily hold true. In baseball, that doesn't necessarily hold true.
And I think it's an even better example of what you're referring to. In the postseason in hockey, the totals are going to be 5, and the games are generally, it's 2-1, 2-2. Mm-hmm. And then you go to overtime, right? And then whoever wins it there. So I think it's a great opportunity in those situations where a team like Nashville, playing as well as they are, really coming on extremely strong, good opportunity to take a look at them at those long odds.
This division is really incredible, though. When you think about Carolina, you think about Tampa Bay, who could arguably be the best team in hockey, or Colorado. You can make those two arguments. You think about Florida, who's played so well this year.
They got 58 points.
A big surprise. And now this team's playing well. And you think about, and Chicago is an up-and-coming team as well. It's just such a difficult division. And oh, by the way, the Dallas Stars, who went to the Stanley Cup last year, are still in the Central Division and are in big, big danger of not making the playoffs this year.
Stars at 42 points right now. Really have struggled this year in terms of the overtime losses. 12 overtime losses. Got to get some speed and get some guys on offense and put the puck in net in 3-on-3 situations or in the shootout. So something to pay attention to. When we come back, we're going to be joined by SiriusXM MLB analyst Scotty Miller is the wide receiver. Scott Miller, also he contributes to Bally Sports San Diego. So we'll find out what's going on with the Padres. That's next.
The NCAA tournament might be over, but there's still a ton of action every day, and now is the time to sign up for VSiN. We have baseball every day on the play card. We've got NBA every day on the play card. We've got NHL every day on the play card. Not to mention golf. Not to mention UFC. We've got Champions League. We've got Europa. And here's the thing. We have experts for every single sport of them all. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to try our 10-day free trial. Get yourself access to Point Spread Weekly. That's the digital magazine you get every Wednesday. So many stats, so many breakdowns, so many angles to make bets. My favorite part is the daily best bets email from our great Bill Ady, our COO, tremendous marketing guy, former sports editor in Chicago, hotshot sports editor in Chicago, if you can believe that. He sends this email out. You get everybody's Mitch, Paul, Gil, Danny Burke, Michael Lombardi, me, Amal, everybody's picks, plus every guest that's on the show, whether they call in or not. And then you get 24/7 access to play the videos. You can go back. You can go through it. There's iPods. You can listen while you're walking your dog at the park. It's for your convenience. VSiN.com/subscribe. Start your free 10-day trial today. Welcome back into the Nuts. I'm Mike Palm. He's Amal Shaw, and he's going to tell us where we're going.
Yeah. Well, we don't have Scott Miller. We couldn't work out the contract negotiation. We just didn't have enough money in the budget to be able to bring him on, so we're going to have to skip him right now. But, Mike, let's go to Major League Baseball. I want to give a quick update because I know you've got this Tribe White Sox game. Indians get out of the first inning, just yielding the one run despite three hits. Moncada gets a single that brings in Tim Anderson. So White Sox leading right now, 1-0 top of the second inning. Any other games that you're really intrigued by or are you considering betting today? A little bit of a shorter slate on the back end because obviously currently five games in progress.
Yeah, shorter slate. We talked about maybe taking a shot with the Rangers against Richie Hill today. I'm looking at this Minnesota game here, another low-scoring game in Minnesota between the Twins and the Red Sox. Pineda has pitched well again today. I always try to look to fade Pineda. I always think he's, you know, when he was with the Yankees, he always had that 5 ERA. He's been much better in Minnesota, and they finally have the lead on the Red Sox here in the game. And then we're sweating, of course, the White Sox, thanks to Adam Eaton. It's probably 2-0, and they're still hitting if he doesn't get thrown out at second.
You're absolutely right. Abreu struck out swinging, then they get the hit from Moncada. You would have probably had two runs in and a runner on first with one out. I've got the Orioles going right now, going against them, rather, and I've got the Mariners in this matchup. And by the way, win or lose on this game, all credit goes to Josh Towers because he texted me this morning and he said, hey, listen, Harvey's going. Got to take the Mariners here. Yeah. And so that's why I did. Otherwise, I wasn't going to play this game in this matchup between the Birds and the Mariners. This Orioles team with Harvey on the mound, that's their one blip when you look at it now. He wasn't horrendous today, but that's never a line you want to utilize when talking about a starting pitcher.
Yeah, it's tough. And you had Marco Gonzalez going for them, who had a little bit of a rough start in Minnesota. So, I mean, you're getting a plus price in this matchup, and now you've got the lead here, and you got to try to get it to the house. This is, of course, a seven-inning game, part of another doubleheader here in Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely. Something to pay attention to when you look at these matchups, because remember, the doubleheaders are just still seven innings, so pay attention to that if you are looking to bet some of those games.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you. No, you're good. We got introduced to the seven-inning games last year, right, during COVID, and we're still doing the doubleheaders with the seven innings. How do you feel about it? I tend to love these seven-inning games.
Well, before I answer that, then tell me why you love them.
I love it because you factor the bullpens out of it, which is the part of baseball that I really hate. It also shortens, and for me, I'm concerned with baseball's future and the marketing of baseball. And I just think this 3-hour and 20-minute product does not sell to young people. The game is too slow. They make all these rule changes, and they don't do anything to speed the game up. You get these seven-inning games. I mean, we're seeing, I think the average time was 2:28 last year. That's much more within the frame of what the American sports viewing mind is right now. NBA is 2.5 hours. The NHL, 2.5 hours or less. It really gets it in line. Football's a whole different product. Football aside, that's the king. It's going to be the king. 3 hours, 3:15
is okay. Plus, it's also once a week.
Yes.
That makes a huge difference.
So, I really like the seven-inning game. I don't know that they'll ever go to seven-inning games. Look, you play growing up, you play six innings, you go to high school with seven innings and things like that. But to me, I like it. The games go fast. You factor the starter becomes a bigger factor when you're betting the game overall, and I like it.
I am lukewarm about it. I had a friend of mine tell me 3 years ago, he goes, this is exactly what baseball should do across the board, not just for the doubleheaders. He said entirety of the game, they should go to seven innings. Make the starting pitcher more of a factor and make the game more engaging for people, because also at Dodger Stadium, it's good. Fans can actually stay till the end of the game then. But beyond
that, will they leave in the fifth if it's a seven-inning game?
Yeah. That's a great question. To me, though, I like it because, as you alluded to, it takes the bullpens out of the equation. Too many of these teams, particularly you see it with the Rays, you see it with the Dodgers, they have paralysis by overanalysis with the analytics. These guys are frontline pitchers. What, all of a sudden, Sandy Koufax, who didn't have the same access to all the type of training equipment and everything you have nowadays, these guys' arms are about to fall off? What are we doing? Remember when Boris wanted to pull Steven Strasburg? I would have said, listen, Strasburg, you're going to wind up in a meat wagon somewhere. If not, you're going to pitch in the playoffs. Stop worrying about what Boris has to say. Let these guys go out and play, and I love these seven innings. These guys should be able to go and carry us. Just when you have a doubleheader, you should have basically three pitchers going that day, two starters and maybe somebody in relief in one of the two games.
Well, that's right, and we saw last year with Cincinnati making up games down the stretch. I think Bauer had two or three complete games as part of doubleheaders. I mean, that's all you need. I mean, with Francona, he's going to give the ball to Savali or Bieber, and all he really needs is Brad Hand in the bullpen in case they can't get to the seventh.
Right? To me, it's a perfect scenario, and it really does a great job of not taxing your bullpen. I just think there's an overindulgence of the bullpens, something to pay attention to, especially when you're betting these plays, because if bullpens are taxed, it has an impact on the total in the subsequent games and also how a team's going to perform. Speaking of two teams right now that are not performing particularly well, the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Washington Nationals. Diamondbacks at 4-8. They'll send Merrill Kelly to the mound today against the Nationals, who are going to have Patrick Corbin on the hill. Got off to a rough start so far this year for Corbin. Merrill Kelly, not much better. Comes in with an 0-2 record with an 8.1 ERA.
Kelly's been bad here. Obviously, Corbin was very important to Washington, and he really looks to be, you know, now almost the number three starter on that team. important part of their rotation. They're going to have to rely on Corbin. Pat Corbin's got to be a guy that wins 14 or 15 games for this team if they're going to be a playoff team. They're going to be competitive to win the NL East. They got a good start out of Joe Ross yesterday to pick up that win, try to turn it around here for this team. Obviously, I'm the one that bet them over 86 wins, so I need a little bit of help.
I just got a text message that said, I love baseball, that's 7 innings, and golf should be 12 holes. Yeah, exactly.
That's funny.
Well, you know, to me, at 175 on this Nationals team right now, you look at them, that's a big number, the way they're playing, and then Arizona plus 145. Washington, do they have enough bats to be competitive? We know the pitching can be there if these guys, Corbin, Scherzer, Strasburg, if they're healthy enough and they can perform, that's going to be there. What about the offense?
Yeah, I still think they do. I mean, Soto is still such a great up-and-coming player, and they've got some power in this lineup that they've added. They're going to hit a few more home runs. I think they will be. I think the big question mark is going to be, are they going to get the number of starts out of Scherzer, out of Strasburg, and then can the middle relief hold up to get it to the back end, because they improved their bullpen as well in the back end.
Well, the bullpen's not going to really matter if you're not scoring runs, is it?
Well, it might. It might. It's got to get you to the 12th before you get a run.
Hard to win games if you don't score a run. But when we come back, Palm Reader's probably hoping for a game that doesn't have any scoring. Let's see what he's got on tap today. You've got an under?
I may have.
You may have. That's next here on The Nuts. With exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boost, and the largest offer of live in-play options, BetRivers Sportsbook is the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience even more rewarding, BetRivers offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and only one-time playthrough. BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. In Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. We're going to go behind the bets right now. Excuse me, we're going to go into our plays. We already went behind the bets. In terms of what you've got coming up in the playbook, we'll have in just a second, because I'm sure you probably have a litany of games. We're going to start with the all-in segment. I've got two plays today.
Wow.
Why are you surprised?
Well, because you just said every time you have multiple plays, you lose.
Yeah, you know, the good news for me right now is I've got the Mets-Phillies game under 7, but that game has been postponed.
You must have seen the weather this morning.
Yeah, that's exactly why I put it on there intentionally. I knew that way, you know, you'd have something to complain about. Mike has a theory that I only put up games that I know are going to be postponed. So I'm looking for another riot somewhere else to see if I can put on tomorrow's games.
Look, I was talking to Matty Humans, and he said, who could have imagined that this kid would put out this many plays so far? You have to give him credit. And I had to agree with him.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm not like everybody else here at VSiN. Let me put in my $40 eight-team Robin every day like everyone else on the network. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I'm the only one that puts in eight-team round Robin. Don't say everybody.
Well, I was referring to everyone in this studio here. Predators and Hurricanes under 5.5. I like this game. You mentioned taking a look at the Predators at plus 155. I think that's an opportunity as well for people to consider. This team is playing particularly well. You said 12-3 in their last 15. And the thing has been the defensive side where they've really improved.
They really have. They've shutting everybody down. As you said, they've allowed, two goals or less in how many of these games, a great percentage of their games. They just embarrassed Tampa Bay the other night, just jumped out right on top of them. And now they find themselves, having gone from last place in this division, or second to last, sixth place in this division, now up to fourth, currently in a playoff spot. And I just think they have a lot of momentum with them. And I thought I would have made this game more like 160 for Carolina. So I think getting plus 155 on the backside here with the Predators is worth a play.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I thought this number is a little bit high when you look at it on the surface of Carolina being minus 182. But the Hurricanes have been tremendous this year. Mike, let's go to the Palm Reader's playbook. What do you have going?
Well, you know, we talked about it behind the bets, the three-unit play. Savali against Lynn, first five under four here. Just coming off of getting no hit last night, the Indians. And, of course, the White Sox didn't score a run in 10 innings on Monday night in this matchup. Savali with a whip of 0.55. Lance Lynn, 13 2/3. Well, now 15 2/3. He hasn't given up a run. Currently in the bottom of the second. It's 1-0 White Sox, runner on first and two out. I have a two-unit play tonight. Shesterkin for the Rangers just shut out the Devils the other night, 3-0. They come back with the rematch here. Might be Blackwood tonight. But the game is a six. I was surprised that it's a six. I might even lean to play the total as a six and take seven to beat you. But I like the plus price on the under in the first period. I just think Shesterkin is really zoned in for them, and it'll probably take the Rangers being up 2-0 after one to lose this bet. Europa coming back when they played this game in Croatia. Villarreal won the first leg 1-0, so it sits 1-0 with a road goal there. I think Zagreb's going to have a hard time scoring in this matchup. I would look to come back again with something like a 1-0 final for Villarreal. Zagreb might have to open it up if they get to the second half. Obviously, they have to score a goal. If they repeat the 1-0, they could force extra time here as this game switches to Spain. That's a one-unit play. And then Lightning embarrassed by the Predators the other night. They'll have Vasilevsky back in goal. I laid the 60 cents with them. I'm looking for a big bounce-back performance tonight.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for them. Dreiger in net for the Florida Panthers in that matchup. Mike, I want to go back to this Indians-White Sox game that you have here because you took it at 4 on the under.
Yes.
Kind of break down how you decided to do that because there was an option of 4.5 and you chose not to go with that.
For me, it's tough to lay 40 cents juice on totals, right? And I look at it this way. If it ends up at 4 and I push the bet, I'm okay. But I'd much rather lay 15 cents or 20 cents juice at the 4. I thought this game is most likely going to come in at 2 or 3 as a 5-inning total. And look, if it's the 4, I'll take the push. If it's the 5, I'm going to lose either way. So I didn't think the 25 cents is worth it for the extra half run when it sits between 4 and 4.5.
So wait a second. It was the minus on the 4.
140 on the
4.
On
and
the
a
4.5.
And the 40 and the 4 was what?
115 or 120, depending on
so,
where you shop.
So if you do the 3 units, so you're looking at 75 cents more. I get where you're coming from. The only thing the reason why I would have preferred to take the 4.5 is because at 4 you wind up with a push, or at a 4.5 you could have gotten a win. And so you're looking at the first 5 really in essence being a 3 for you to be able to win.
Yeah, I'm looking at it as a 3 to win the game. But I think with these two pitchers and the way these teams are hitting, now if it might have been a different pitching matchup, where it's not two pitchers that are as dominant, then paying the extra 25 or 30 cents juice may be worth it at that point. But I thought this game would focus in, and I really thought there would be very few runs scored in it.
I like the point you just made about the dominance of the pitchers. Through two innings right now, it is the White Sox leading 1-0. So 18 outs to go there to get that W.
There's another thing when we're doing these first fives and you bet unders.
Yeah.
Let's say we get to the end of 4 and it's 2-0, right? Mm-hmm. On every inning, you can bet yes, no, will there be a run,
right?
In that spot, you can bet, yes, there will be run in the fifth inning, and you scoop with one run, right? You have under 4, and you push the 4 and win with 2 runs, and in 3 runs, you would push the 2 bets. So it's really, you know, in those outcomes, you set yourself up in a spot really to win 2 bets or push aside and win a bet.
That's an excellent point, because in this game right now, with the way the score is, there's a strong possibility, worst-case scenario, going into the fifth inning, it would only be 2-0 at that point in time. And so if you have an opportunity, you take that yes in the fifth inning, and now you're looking at a scenario where if that run does score in the fifth, you win both bets, as you alluded to. But I think it's also a good way to insure yourself, because in the first fives, it's a little bit more difficult than it is in an entire game bet to be able to
and
do.
And typically in a low-scoring game where the pitchers are pitching well, you're going to get a plus price on will there be a run in the fifth
inning. Absolutely. You're probably in this type of matchup, you're probably looking at plus 140 or so, 135 between these two pitchers on the mound right
now.
So something to consider for sure. Let's go to the NBA tonight. Obviously, the Milwaukee Bucks taking on the Atlanta Hawks. This is a Milwaukee team that I think a lot of people are overlooking, sitting at 34-20 in the Eastern Conference in third place. Atlanta Hawks really having a nice season at 30-25 in the Eastern Conference in fourth place. The Bucks are a 4-point favorite on the road here in this matchup, Mike. To me, Milwaukee is a team that still continues to fly under the radar. I'm not going to get involved in this matchup. Atlanta's a team, I'll tell you right now, I have not bet a single game on them this year. I bet against them one time with the Mavericks, but other than that, just not much interest. Total of 230.5 in this one.
No Greek Freak, right, tonight? Is that correct? The line only 4.5 here?
He's going to be a game-time decision.
Gallinari day-to-day. DeAndre Hunter out. Snell out. Collins out. Dunn out. Reddish out. Trae Young day-to-day. I mean, it's a walking wounded here for Atlanta, and then I think the decision will come down to is Giannis going to play or not here. I'm really not interested in this game. I think there's better betting opportunities on the board in other spots. But if Giannis did play, maybe a look at the you know, what the line adjusts to, 5, maybe 5.5 here with the Bucks.
Yeah, Bucks right now 4.5, total of 230.5. For one thing for me is to pay attention to is, and this is where I think sometimes the risk is worth the reward. If you don't think Trae Young's going to play, because he's listed as a game time decision, and you think Giannis is going to play or vice versa, take a look at betting one of those sides, and then you come back the other way and just try and either get a middle when the number moves, or you're just in a scenario where you end up giving away 10%, unfortunately. But the reality of it is you only need to be right, you know, 1 out of 10 times on it to make a profit.
What does this total interest you at all look at over here if they both do play?
I mean, you would lean towards it with both of these teams. Mm-hmm. I think that's a strong possibility. But on the other side, I was thinking, do you go under? But again, taking unders in the NBA nowadays, unless it's the Knicks or the Lakers, is like holding your breath.
And and Tim Doyle took it the other night, and he was in good position. I mean, the in-game total was 202, 201, 202, 201, and it ends up 207, goes over by a point.
Well, the hard thing, the handicap is, when you get a sequence where a team comes down, hits a three, the other team comes down, gets an and one, and then the other team comes back the other way, gets a three-point shot, you got 9 points in about 40 seconds. Mm-hmm. It's hard to sometimes gauge those, and that's the thing that can take a game over the total, or that's what keeps it under. You just wind up with a few missed shots in a sequence just over a couple of minutes while the rest of the game goes basically according to the math of what the total would have been.
It's amazing in today's NBA, there's very few minutes that go by where a point isn't scored.
Yeah,
we're in a college game, you can get 4 or 5 minute stretch where there's no points.
Yeah, a couple of news and notes also around the NBA. I want to mention LaMarcus Aldridge retiring. He had a heart issue and when he was playing, and now all of a sudden that came to light, and so he's decided to retire. Had a tremendous career. Mike, I know I'm old because I covered his McDonald's All-American announcement.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're old.
Were you still there when he was at Texas?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's LaMarcus Aldridge had a terrific career. He's going to be hanging it up, and it was an irregular heartbeat that was the issue there for him. And Zach LaVine, in COVID protocol, is going to miss a few games for the Chicago Bulls. Big blow. I mean, this kid's been outstanding so far for the Bulls.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's a very important factor there on that team that's looking to try to make a run to get in the playoffs. Currently sitting about 5 games out at 22 and 32 in the Eastern Conference. Obligatory for us to talk about the Celtics. They're at Staples tonight playing the Lakers. We see them come in here. Obviously, no LeBron and no AD. Celtics come in here as a solid 6-point favorite. They're 5-0 against the spread in their last 5 road games. Also, the unders 8-2 for the Celtics in their last 10 overall.
Well, I think you look at the under in this one with the way the Lakers can defend. Now, one thing to keep in mind is Andre Drummond's going to be a game-time decision in this one for the Lakers. I think he has an impact on them defensively. I like the Lakers in 6 here at home. I think as good as Boston could be against this decimated Lakers team by injuries, I still think it's a big rivalry. I think the Lakers will be up for this game. I think that's too high of a number for Boston to cover on the road.
I agree with you on the total of 212.5 going under here. These teams met in Boston at the end of January, and the Lakers won 96-95, obviously. 21.5 points under this current total.
Yeah, if that was a Mavericks game, you would think it's a halftime score. But with the Lakers and the C's, it could be a much more defensive battle. To me, though, plus 6 is the more intriguing one out of these two in this matchup. The Lakers team, look, if they get these types of efforts defensively, and then you get AD and LeBron back, watch out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what they're waiting for here, just sort of treading water, continuing to play great defense. And then when it comes playoff time, we'll see. It's go time.
Yeah, absolutely right. One play you obviously have is that White Sox-Indians game. Anything else you might be considering today or tonight?
I don't know. We'll look at these Europa games as they get underway. This Arsenal was 1-1 in their first matchup with Slavia Prague. So it's wide open there. They were just a small favorite to advance, although I favor the EPL team.
Yeah, something just to pay attention to. And let's hope our producer is a Colts fan at least, because we're getting stuck with the Celtics every time. I know during football season, at least the Colts are going to be competitive.
It'll be much more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely right. Oh, you know, he just said the Steelers. Oh, great. Oh. The Steelers on the clock. Well, that's going to do it for us. Betting Across America is next here on VSiN.